Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Local farm turns discarded pumpkins into animal feed. The Cross Farm welcomes donations. Pumpkin season may be ending soon, but for those desiring to donate rather than trash their whole pumpkins, there is hope on the horizon. Farmer Cindy Cross and her husband made the discovery years ago that discarded pumpkins offer a delicious treat for their goats, chickens, miniature donkeys, and ducks. Quote, "It's more widely known now, thanks to social media, that all animals like eating pumpkins," end quote, Cross told the Reporter-Telegram. Quote, "We feed them back to our animals. The pumpkins store well outside until we run out," end quote. Cross said she and her family began the tradition of accepting pumpkins because they noticed a lot of people were just throwing the unused pumpkins, gourds, and squashes into the dumps. Quote, "You can even feed an uncarved pumpkin to wildlife," end quote, she said. Quote, "We started feeding the pumpkins to our animals 4 years ago, and we have had the farm for almost 9 years. Once we started sharing the request with our family, and now it's a much larger thing," end quote. The Cross family asked that guests refrain from feeding the animals without making prior arrangements with the farm beforehand. Cross also advised that because of the volume, the farm only accepts drop-off donations. The Cross Farm, located at 1003 East County Road 124 in Midland, also specializes in crafting soaps, lotion, and even shaving products from their goat's milk. As for hours of operation, Cross advised that the farm leaves its gates open during the day with a sign directing people where to leave their pumpkins. Oil report. Upstream M&A slows to $12 billion in Q3. Lowest since early 2023. There was no surprise for Enverus Intelligence Research analysts as they put together the company's third quarter upstream mergers and acquisitions summary. The summary found a significantly slower pace of deals, with just $12 billion in announced deals. The lowest total since the first quarter of 2023, that decline was largely attributable to a pause in public company consolidation, as well as fewer deals to be had in the prolific Permian Basin, according to EIR. Quote, "Upstream M&A was bound to drop after the unprecedented lift of corporate mergers and private equity exits since 2023. Those deals raised asset prices and cut the number of potential targets," end quote, said Andrew Dittmar, principal analyst at EIR. Quote, "An additional factor could have been increased volatility in crude prices during the third quarter. Anytime commodities get more volatile, oil and gas deals are harder to negotiate. However, that is a short-term turbulence until buyers and sellers feel more confident on the direction oil prices are moving," end quote. Dittmar said the most notable shift in the quarter was the lack of consolidation between publicly traded exploration and production companies, the first time that has happened in a quarter since 2022. The $188 billion in public company consolidation since the start of 2023, with 11 public deals over $2 billion, leaves significantly fewer targets to pursue. In addition, large buyers like Chevron, ConocoPhillips, Diamondback Energy, and ExxonMobil have been busy closing and integrating deals, with timelines often delayed by extra antitrust scrutiny by the Federal Trade Commission. Dittmar told the Reporter-Telegram that he sees primarily non-core asset sales in the near term as buyers pay down debt from a round of major consolidation and trim non-competitive assets. Quote, "We are certainly seeing that in the Permian already with the APA and Occidental sales and rumored divestment packages from ExxonMobil and ConocoPhillips," end quote, he said. He also predicted the market would see also some acquisitions as companies look to be opportunistic in adding high-quality inventory, even in small chunks, when it is available, but being willing to target middle-quality inventory as well that they might not have bid on a few years ago. Quote, "Quality is also relative between operators. Something that would be considered lower quality by a company like Diamondback would still be competitive for development by a company like Vital that lacks their depth of inventory," end quote, Dittmar added. He continued, quote, while public company non-core sales are the bigger driver of M&A going forward, we can't overlook the handful of significant remaining privates in the Permian like Franklin Mountain and Double Eagle. Those give public companies one last shot at buying a significant chunk of higher quality inventory and are likely to command significant premiums in the market, end quote. Dittmar also expects a greater focus on opportunities outside the Permian Basin, where there are more opportunities and pricing for undeveloped inventory is more reasonable. Quote, companies have definitely broadened the search beyond the Permian to find assets. I think the Eagle Ford and Williston are likely the top targets for bigger operators, end quote, he said. Quote, even though both basins are much more developed than the Permian, especially in the core, they still have substantial remaining inventory in Tier 2 and 3 areas, and refracts are breathing new life back into the core, end quote. Public operators trust those plays because of scale and respectability of drilling results. For the small publics, companies like Mach and Sandridge, plus privates, they're going to look further out for assets, including areas like the Western Anadarko Basin and Legacy Rockies, plays like the San Juan, he added. Quote, there is still a significant amount of oil and gas to develop outside the main shale plays focused on by bigger public companies, end quote, Dittmar said. Quote, now that the big shale plays are increasingly consolidated, the industry is dusting off maps and rediscovering areas that have been under the radar for the last decade, end quote. Spicewood Mineral makes 5 acquisitions in Permian. Spicewood Mineral Partners have invested in Permian Basin Minerals since its inception in 2019. The Dallas-based company recently updated, quote, Tier 1, end quote, mineral assets in the Permian. Deal 1, strategic acquisition of early life, 90% undeveloped mineral tract in the Delaware Basin, offering the potential for significant upside through resource development and timing advantages. Recent activity includes Occidental filing a lease in the neighboring section and several operators farming in nearby to accelerate timing and reserves. Deal 2. Higher yielding asset with mineral interests in the Delaware and Midland Basins operated by Occidental and High Peak. The deal includes both production ready assets and significant future development opportunities. Approximately 60% of the inventory remains, featuring a mix of sub $40 per barrel opportunities and longer-term potential. Deal 3. Mineral interests in Ward County considered to have strong production potential, supported by proximity to key operators like ConocoPhillips and Occidental. Deal 4. Mineral interests in northern Reeves County associated with BP. This unit is one of BP's last remaining long lateral developments in the core of the basin, indicating significant near-term development focus. Deal 5. Mineral interests across the Delaware Basin with strong near-term cash flow and future development potential. Only 18% of the asset is PDP, proved, developed, producing, with the majority of inventory having break-evens below $35 per barrel. U.S. energy exports soar 50 years post-1973 oil embargo. It's been just over 50 years since the 1973 oil embargo disrupted the nation's energy supplies, sending energy prices soaring and creating long lines at gas pumps as drivers sought increasingly scarce gasoline. In the aftermath of that embargo, the Federal Energy Administration, predecessor to the Department of Energy, began publishing monthly overview of energy produced and consumed in the U.S. The most recent publication from the DOE's Energy Information Administration provides a snapshot of just how much has changed over the last 50 years. In 1974, the country consumed more energy than it produced and was a net importer of energy from other states. Today, the U.S. is the world's largest crude oil and natural gas producer. The U.S. also became a net energy exporter starting in 2019. In 1974, U.S. net energy imports in the first 7 months were about 6.8 quadrillion British thermal units. During the first 7 months of 2024, the U.S. exported a net total of about 5 quads. This has been driven by crude oil and petroleum products and liquefied natural gas over the last 15 years. Thanks to technological improvements, including horizontal drilling and hydraulic fracturing, Total U.S. energy production in the first 7 months of 2024 was 68%, or 24 quads more than the same time frame in 1974. The EIA also noted U.S. energy consumption has steadily increased since 1974, though at a lower rate than production growth. Between January and July 2024, U.S. energy consumption was 32%, or 13.2 quads, more than the same period in 1974. Consumption growth is due to several factors, including population growth and increased economic activity. However, primary energy consumption has generally decreased on both a per capita basis and in terms of energy consumed per dollar of gross domestic product since the 1970s. Increased energy efficiency has contributed to these decreases. Natural gas output rises in Bakken, Eagle Ford, Permian basins. Three of the nation's oiliest producing basins have also been producing a rising share of the nation's natural gas over the last decade, according to the Energy Information Administration. A recent report from the EIA found natural gas comprised 40% of total production from the Bakken, the Eagle Ford, and the Permian, compared with 29% in 2014. In the Permian, the share of natural gas produced relative to crude oil has remained relatively stable, although the gas-oil ratio, GOR, has steadily risen from 3.1 MCF per barrel, or 34% of total production in 2014, to 4 MCF per barrel, or 40% in 2024. Natural gas production in the Permian, the largest producing tight oil play in the United States, increased eightfold in 2024 through September compared with 2014, and crude oil production increased sixfold. In the Eagle Ford play, the share of natural gas produced relative to crude oil has remained the highest among these plays, increasing from 3.5 MCF per barrel, or 37% of total production, to 5.6 MCF per barrel, or 48%. This increased GOR reflects a 14% increase in average natural gas production and a 28% decrease in average crude oil production in 2024 through September compared with 2014. In the Bakken play, the share of natural gas produced relative to crude oil has historically been relatively low, averaging only 1.2 MCF per barrel, or 16% of total production in 2014. However, the GOR increased to 2.9 MCF per barrel, or 33% in 2024, with average gross natural gas production increasing 186% compared with 2014, while crude oil production increased just 14%. Production of associated natural gas, which is natural gas produced from predominantly oil wells, has increased more rapidly from these tight oil plays. Natural gas production from these plays more than tripled, with an increase of 22 billion cubic feet per day over the period compared with crude oil output, which more than doubled with an increase of 4 million barrels per day. Life Tributes. Harriet Barnes, 1230-1927 to 1024-2024. Harriet Morris Barnes, age 96, of Midland, Texas, passed away on Thursday, October 24, 2024. Harriet was born in Detroit, Michigan, December 30, 1927, to Mary Louise Reed Morris and Frederick Kendall Morris. Harriet is survived by her daughter, Betsy Ann Owens, her daughter, Carol Louise Overton, David Overton, and her son, John Reed Barnes, Karen Barnes, her five grandchildren, and her eight great-grandchildren. Harriet was predeceased in death by her parents, Mary Louise Reed Morris and Frederick Kendall Morris, and her brother, Frederick Kendall Morris, Jr. A funeral service for Harriet will be held Tuesday, November 12, 2024, at 10 o'clock a.m. at the Episcopal Church of the Holy Trinity, 1412 West Louisiana Avenue, Midland, Texas, 79701. Following the funeral service will be a graveside committal at Rest Haven Memorial Park, 4616 North Big Spring Street, Midland, Texas, 79705. Serving as pallbearers are John Barnes, David Overton, Abby Rollins, Kyle Rollins, Michael Johnson, and Blake Umstead. Joe R. Rickey, 927-1938 to 10-20-2024. Joe R. Rickey, S.M. Sergeant, USAF retired, 86, of Midland, Texas, was called to continue his service with the Lord on Sunday, October 20th, 2024. A memorial service will be held at 11 o'clock a.m. on Wednesday, November 6th, 2024, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory, with interment to follow at the Central Texas State Veterans Cemetery in Killeen, Texas, at 11 o'clock a.m. on Friday, November 8th, 2024. Born on July 27, 1938, in Shawnee, Oklahoma, to Wayne and Lucille Rickey, née Avery, Joe enlisted in the United States Air Force immediately after graduating from Sayre High School in 1956. Joe is survived by his beloved wife, Sheila Rickey, his children, Michael Nikki Rickey, Ralph Angela Rickey, and Ricky Ray Carmen Rickey, their mother, Mercedes Rickey, his brother, Jimmy Rickey, and Sheila's children, Leslie, Bridget, Katie, and Beverly Katie. He also leaves behind 10 grandchildren and 8 great-grandchildren from his blended family. Joe was preceded in death by his parents, Wayne and Lucille Rickey, his siblings, Alice, Lucy, Ruth, Mary, Norma, Charles, Patricia, Betty, and Wayne Rickey, and Sheila's son, Jordan Scott, Gloria Katie. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Bart Hotchkiss, 11-24-1943 to 10-27-2024. Bart Hotchkiss, Lyman Bartlett, was born on November 24, 1943, in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania, to Dr. DeWitt H. Hotchkiss and his wife, Esther. Bart is survived by his wife of 60 years, Sharla, his son, Brett L.B. Jr., and his wife, Cindy, daughter, Erin, grandchildren, Brendan, Christopher, and Elizabeth, his brother, Pete, his sister-in-law, Carol, and his nieces, Jennifer, Jackie and her husband, Joe, Janine and her husband, Andy, Jennifer and her husband, Kit, and nephew, Nils, as well as their children. A memorial service will be held at the First Methodist Church on Saturday, November 9th, 2024, at 11 o'clock a.m. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Claire Cal, 7-20-2024. It is with profound sadness that I share the passing of our beloved wife, mother, grandmother, and friend, Claire Cal, on July 20th, 2024, at the age of 74. Claire's journey began in Coshocton, Ohio, where she grew up. Predeceased by her parents, Leon Vernon Larson and Helen Ann Worthington, Claire's memory will be cherished and kept strong by her husband, Robert Call, her children, Adam Call, and grandchildren, Rob and Tala Call. A viewing will be held at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Homes on November 4th, 2024, from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., for family and friends to honor her passing. The services will be held where she will be laid to rest, at Serenity Memorial Gardens, to honor and celebrate her life on November 5th, 2024 at 1 p.m. Dolores Villa, age 56, of Stanton, Texas, went to be with the Lord October 23rd, 2024. Cremation services have been arranged. A rosary service will be held November 4th, 2024 at St. Joseph's Catholic Church, Stanton, Texas, at 10 o'clock a.m., followed by a funeral mass at 11 o'clock a.m. Interment to immediately follow at St. Joseph's Catholic Cemetery. Funeral arrangements are under the care of Stanton Memorial Funeral Home. Online condolences can be made at stantonfh.com. Alvaro Hinojos, 78, of Midland, passed away October 30th, 2024. Viewing will be from 3 o'clock p.m. to 9 o'clock p.m., Saturday, November 2nd, 2024, and from 1 o'clock p.m. to 9 o'clock p.m., Sunday, November 3rd, 2024, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. A rosary will be recited at 7 o'clock p.m., Sunday, November 3rd, 2024. Funeral Mass will be held at 10 o'clock a.m., Monday, November 4th, 2024, at St. Anne's Catholic Church in Midland. Interment will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens Cemetery. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home of Big Spring. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Laura Jean Stewart. Laura Jean Thompson Stewart, age 98, of Midland, passed away on Tuesday, October 29, 2024. She was born in Commerce, Texas on September 13, 1926. A celebration of life for Laura Jean will be held Saturday, November 9, 2024, at 10 o'clock a.m. at Ellis Funeral Home, 4616 North Big Spring Street. Please visit ellisfunerals.com to leave online condolences. Susan Smith. Susan Smith, age 74, of Midland, Texas, passed away on Sunday, October 27, 2024. She was born in Midland. The family will receive friends for visitation on Monday, November 4, 2024, from 4 o'clock p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. at Ellis Funeral Home, 4616 North Big Spring Street. A funeral service will be held on Tuesday, November 5, 2024, at 6 o'clock p.m. at Ellis Funeral Home. Please visit ellisfunerals.com to leave online condolences. Sandra Collins. Sandra Collins, age 60, of Midland, Texas, went to be with the Lord October 28, 2024. Cremation services have been arranged with a memorial service to be held Saturday, November 9, 2024, at 11 o'clock a.m. at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home Chapel with Pastor Wendell Smith as officiant. Funeral arrangements are under the care of Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be made at asanchezTFH.com. Midland High grads fast-track diesel tech careers. Felix Campos, Fidel Gardea de la Cruz, and Royce Knight graduated from Midland High School this past May, and they are already employed full-time at Warren Cat as diesel tech trainees. Thanks to the Midland College Dual Credit Career and Technology Education Program, they received certificates in diesel technology 2 weeks before they graduated from high school and were immediately employable. Now they are continuing their studies to earn Associate of Applied Sciences degrees while working full-time at Warren Cat. Quote, the CTE Dual Credit Program at Midland College is an incredible opportunity for students to jumpstart their careers while still in high school. End quote. Eric Gutierrez, MC Program Chair of Automotive, Diesel, and Energy Technology, said, quote, through partnerships like the one with Warren Cat, our students gain hands-on experience, professional mentorship, and financial support to pursue their education in high-demand fields like diesel technology. This collaboration empowers students to enter the workforce with the skills and confidence they need to succeed, creating a direct pathway from the classroom to the industry. We're excited to see the bright futures ahead for these talented students. End quote. Quote, since we work full-time, we take our Midland College classes online and at night, end quote, Campos explained. Quote, it's definitely worth it because once we have our associate degrees, we will earn a higher salary and be even more in demand, end quote. Diesel technicians are needed in many industries, including manufacturing, construction, facilities maintenance, aviation, and, of course, the energy sector. The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics projects that there will be about 25,600 openings for diesel technicians each year over the next decade. Currently in Texas, there are 21,180 diesel technician jobs, with annual wages ranging from $40,000 to over $100,000. According to the April 26, 2024 issue of Pulse Magazine, many young people are simply not aware of the career opportunities available as diesel technicians. Additionally, there's a shortage of vocational and technical training programs focused on diesel engine technology, which limits the number of new professionals entering the field. However, Midland College is helping to alleviate the shortage by offering a robust diesel technology program, and both college and high school students are eligible to reap the benefits. High school students like Campos, Gardea, De La Cruz, and Knight can begin taking courses as early as their ninth grade year. By the time they are juniors in high school, they take classes both at their high school campus and at MC's Diesel Technology Facility. located on Florida Avenue, immediately east of the MC Cogdell Learning Center. Companies like Warren Cat partner with the program to provide, quote, tech talks, end quote, where company representatives serve as guest lecturers and give demonstrations on the latest technology. As part of Tech Talks, company reps spend the last few minutes of the lecture talking about job opportunities and recruiting students. Quote, the Tech Talks are just one of the many positive things about Midland College's Diesel Technology program, end quote, Campos said. Quote, it's a great learning environment where we have access to the latest tools and everything is hands-on. The instructors are also very knowledgeable, as all of them have worked in the diesel industry. The skills we are learning help prepare us for our jobs at Warren. End quote. Quote, we first discovered Warren Cat job opportunities at one of the tech talks, end quote. Gardea de la Cruz added. Quote, it's a great company with lots of benefits, including tuition reimbursement for our coursework at Midland College, end quote. Knight agreed and explained that he currently works 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Thursday and 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Fridays. Quote, I'm working more than 40 hours each week, but the overtime pay is great, end quote, he said. Quote, getting off work at 4 o'clock allows me to have some time before night classes and gives me time to get online coursework done, end quote. Gardea de la Cruz said he works 10-hour shifts Tuesday through Friday and some weekends. Campos works 45 hours each week. All three of these young men say they made a great decision when choosing diesel technology in high school, and they all have future goals. Campos and Knight said that their goal is to continue employment at Warren Cat and work their way up the career ladder to becoming field techs. Gardea de la Cruz envisions his future either as a field tech or working on cargo ships, perhaps in international waters. Quote, I always wanted to be a mechanic and I always wanted to work on diesel engines, end quote, Knight said. Quote, there's more components and more horsepower than gasoline-powered engines. If I were giving advice to a young high school student, I would tell them to learn a business trade early and learn as much as possible. Then shoot for the stars. Anything is possible. End quote.
Community mourns passing of Trooper Kevin Vasquez, September 30th, 2024. By staff report, the community is mourning following the death of Trooper Kevin Ramirez Vasquez. With his family by his side, Vasquez died at Covenant Medical Center in Lubbock Sunday morning from injuries suffered when he was struck by a vehicle while working a crash scene in Ector County on September 17th. West Texas Region DPS Director Jose Sanchez announced on social media on Sunday. Vasquez, a U.S. Army veteran and recent graduate of DPS Class A-23, was hit by a Cadillac at the intersection Highway 302 and Marion Drive. In a somber post Sunday, Sanchez described Vasquez as a man of valor, honor, purpose, and a true servant leader. He will never be forgotten, Sanchez said, adding that Vasquez's organs were donated in his final life-saving act. Vasquez's tragic death is having an impact across the community. Camille and I are praying ardently for the loved ones of DPS Trooper Kevin Ramirez Vasquez, who was killed while serving West Texans, stated Congressman August Pfluger. Such a tragic loss. The city of Odessa also posted prayers for his family and colleague, adding, thank you for your sacrifice protecting the great state of Texas. United Way of Midland thanks community for successful food drive, September 27, 2024. The United Way of Midland is lauding the community's support during its week of caring food drive from September 16 through the 20th, which resulted in the donation of over 3,000 non-perishable food items and $2,500 in funding across 9 local food pantries. Throughout the week, community members were encouraged to donate food at various drop-off locations across Midland. Several local businesses joined the effort, hosting their own collection event and contributing to the cause. The collected food was distributed to 9 local food pantries, ensuring that families throughout our community had access. Partners collaborating in the efforts included Atmos Energy, Blue Sky Midland, City of Midland, Chevron, HEB, Kendra Scott, L&T Technology Services, Market Street, Midland College, Encore, and United Supermarket. The response to the drive underscores the importance of collective action and the impact that each person can make, said officials with the United Way of Midland. Washington. For more information about Food Drive or to learn how you can support the United Way's community effort, visit www.uwmidland.org. Midland ranked 12th out of 500 best barbecue cities in America, September 26, 2024. Out of 500 U.S. cities, Midland ranked 12th on the LawnStarters.com 2024 best barbecue cities in America, which the city of Midland allotted this week. Kansas City, Memphis, and Houston ranked among the top three, with Austin ranking 7th and San Antonio 8th. In total, 46 of the 500 cities are in Texas, with Lubbock coming in 45th, Odessa in 111th, and Abilene and San Angelo coming in at 173rd and 78th, respectively. The rankings this year were expanded to 500 cities and are based upon categories such as access, consumer satisfaction, elite barbecue membership, competition awards, and hosting, according to LoneStarter.com. Midland ranked 3rd in competition award rankings, 9th in elite barbecue rankings, 32nd in hosting, 164 access, and 222 for consumer satisfaction. Other cities in the rankings include Dallas, 21, Fort Worth, 34, Cedar Park, 66, Temple, 72, New Braunfels, 86, El Paso, 90, Waco, 98, Amarillo, 101, Arlington, 110, Corpus Christi, 120, Round Rock, 120, Laredo, 123, Georgetown, 124, Pearland, 128, Garland, 134, Plano, 139, Longview, 141, Allen, 164, Frisco, 165, Brownsville, 179, College Station, 180, McKinney, 186, Denton, 203, Farr, 216, Bryant, 226, Wichita Falls, 252, Louisville, 261, Mission, 276, Pasadena, 280, Killeen, 282, Grand Prairie, 332, League City, 334, Flower Mound, 338, Carlton, 345, McAllen, 350, Baytown, 356, Mansfield, 363, Beaumont, 376, Mesquite, 392, Edinburgh, 417, and Irving, 453. Literacy Deathmatch to Descend Upon Odessa, September 24th, 2024, by Kathy Chateau. Odessa will be bullseye of a Literacy Deathmatch Thursday, October 17th at 6 p.m. at the Cooper Rose Building. The event is presented by Odessa Art alongside support from the Texans for the Art and the Texas Commission of the Art. Organizers say the evening of electric storytelling and competition will include creator Adrian Zuniga as host and authors Richard Santos and Jonathan Pizarro, along with Odessans Jeremy Pratt and Elizabeth Wetmore, vying for the Literacy Deathmatch Odessa Crown. The Literacy Deathmatch panels of judges includes 2022 champion James Wade, Becca Oliver from the Writers League of Texas, and a mystery judge who will be unveiled at the event. Attendees can take in free poems from Typewriter Rodeo, live music, books for sale via Alpine's Front Street Book, and a cash bar with small bites. Following the Literacy Deathmatch, the published authors will make themselves available to sign books. Tickets are $15 in advance, $20 the day of the show, and $10 for Odessa Art members. Purchase tickets and learn more here. The event is free for UTPB, Odessa College, and Midland College students with valid student IDs at the door. The event is for those ages 18 and over. The Cooper Rose Building is located at 415 North Grant Avenue in Odessa. Leftover pizza from overturned semi feeds first responders, people in need. September 25, 2024. An unfortunate traffic accident turned into an opportunity for a lot of pizza parties in Midland. According to a CBS 7 and the Midland Fire Department, a semi-truck carrying thousands of frozen pizzas collided with a train at the intersection of 1250 and Highway 80 on Monday, September 23rd. MFD responded to the incident. The best news is that no one was injured. Also good news was that the leftover pizzas were not wasted, but rather provided to MFD, Odessa Fire Rescue, Midland Soup Kitchen Ministry, Rolling Sevens Ranch Event Center, and Midland County Sheriff's Office. Even more of the pizzas were loaded into a refrigerated truck en route to the Salvation Army and other local organizations helping those in need, according to MFD. Barbara Padilla of America's Got Talent to perform with West Texas Symphony, September 25, 2024, by Mike Aldeck. Barbara Padilla, a soprano who was the first runner-up on the fourth season of the TV show America's Got Talent, is returning to West Texas by popular demand. Padilla will perform with the West Texas Symphony, conducted by Gary Lewis, on Saturday, October 5th at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. Padilla is described as a Mexican-American soprano whose onstage presence and beautiful vocal prowess will captivate audiences of all musical tastes. Tickets range from $33 to $60. Students get in for $12. Purchase tickets online. Note, the performance will also mark Pink the Symphony Night. Attendees are encouraged to wear pink in support of breast cancer awareness.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Health and Wellness for Wednesday, November 6th, 2024. Chronic disease. Lifestyle medicine to fight chronic diseases. As the rates of chronic diseases continue to rise across West Texas and the nation, health experts in Midland are rallying around a promising solution. Lifestyle medicine. The outlook for chronic disease in the U.S. is deeply concerning. Today, 129 million adults are already living with at least one major chronic condition, and over 40% of adults face the burden of managing two or more. By 2060, projections suggest that nearly 14 million Americans aged 65 and older will be living with dementia, adding immense personal and societal challenges. However, there is hope. Studies show that more than 90% of type 2 diabetes, 80% of coronary artery disease, 70% of strokes, and 70% of colon cancer cases among U.S. adults could be prevented through lifestyle changes. There is a powerful opportunity to improve community health by addressing root causes through nutrition, physical activity, stress management, sleep, and social connections. On November 16th, local organization Healthy City will host the Improve Your Health Span, a whole health wellness symposium, to help the community take meaningful steps toward better health. This free event promises to offer valuable insights into lifestyle medicine and how it can empower individuals to reclaim their health and lead healthier, more fulfilling lives. We're facing a national health crisis with chronic conditions like heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and high blood pressure affecting an increasing number of people. Our community deserves a better way forward. The six pillars of lifestyle medicine provide a clear and effective path to preventing and even reversing many chronic illnesses, allowing people to live healthier, happier lives. The Wellness Symposium lineup features local physicians, dietitians, and health experts who will share actionable guidance on lifestyle choices that can profoundly improve health. Through interactive presentations and discussions, attendees will learn about the positive impacts of whole food, plant-based diets, regular physical activity, quality sleep, stress management, building strong social connections, and eliminating harmful substances. A vision for a healthier community. This event is part of Healthy City's broader mission to enhance health and well-being in Midland. The organization hosts a range of initiatives designed to educate and engage the community in healthy living practices. Highlights include community meals. Regular potluck gatherings bring people together over nutritious, flavorful dishes while providing a platform to exchange recipes and discuss healthy eating habits. Whole food, plant-based cooking demonstrations. These practical sessions, led by registered dietitians, teach attendees how to prepare delicious plant-based meals and introduce them to the components of lifestyle medicine. Grocery store tours. Guided tours empower community members to make healthier choices, helping them identify nutritious foods and make informed purchasing decisions. Educational partnerships. Collaborating with local businesses, Healthy City provides ongoing opportunities for community education and access to health-promoting resources. Community-based educational events. Regular events bring residents together, fostering an environment where everyone can learn, share, and support each other in making positive lifestyle changes. A call to action. The Improve Your Health Span Symposium is a call to the Midland community to take charge of their health and longevity. Chronic diseases and their debilitating effects are not inevitable, and by integrating the principles of lifestyle medicine into daily life, community members can pave the way to a brighter, healthier future. We want Midland to be a place where healthy choices are easy choices and where every community member has the tools to thrive. This symposium is a step toward that goal, a chance for people to connect with local health experts and learn how small, sustainable changes can make a big difference. Join us in building a healthier, more vibrant Midland for all. Save the date. What? Improve your health span, a whole health wellness symposium. When? 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday, November 16th. Where? Midland College, Carrasco Room. Cost, free to attend. Details. The symposium is open to everyone and will provide invaluable insights into how lifestyle medicine can transform individual and community health. Register early, as space is limited. More info, visit www.ourhealthycity.com. Mayo Clinic Minute. Tips for better sleep. No matter if you need 5 hours of sleep or 8, the key is getting good, refreshing rest. According to Dr. Varan Somers, a cardiologist who specializes in sleep disorders, how much sleep a person needs varies from person to person. However, there are some simple tips that everyone can use to get better sleep. Different people need different amounts of sleep, and on average, we can say most people need 7 to 8 hours, end quote, explains Somers. He says to consider the quality of sleep, not the quantity. He offers these ideas to help you have good sleep hygiene. Quote, in the bedroom, you want absolute darkness, end quote, says Somers. And that means no screens, no TV, no laptops, no phones, and no ticking clocks or LED displays. Quote, avoid bright lights, avoid looking at your phones because light from there can affect your melatonin, end quote, Somers says. That's the hormone that regulates sleep. He says when it comes to quality sleep, less stimulation is best. Quote, minimize alcohol, minimize exercise, minimize lights, minimize external inputs before about 2 hours or so before bedtime. The bedroom is for sex and sleep. It's not for spreadsheets, end quote, says Somers. Exercise can help improve sleep, but working out near bedtime can raise arousal levels, making it harder to sleep. And consider a sleep schedule. Going to bed and getting up at the same time each day reinforces your body's sleep-wake cycle. Lung cancer. Midland Health offering lung cancer screenings. Saturday is National Lung Cancer Screening Day. Midland Health is celebrating by offering lung screenings on that day to make it more convenient for anyone who might need one. The screenings will be done in the Diagnostic Imaging Department at the F. Marie Hall Outpatient Center, 4214 Andrews Highway. Why are these screenings important? Because lung cancer remains the number one cause of cancer deaths in both men and women in every ethnic group. About 340 people in the United States die from lung cancer every day. The Lung Center at Midland Health is committed to improving those numbers. If lung cancer is detected early, the 5-year survival rate is approximately 65%, compared to 6% if it is not. Lung screenings are the proven way to detect lung cancer in its early stages, before there are any symptoms. However, only a small percentage of people at risk get one. This needs to change. How do you screen for lung cancer? The most effective way is with a low-dose CT scan of your chest. A CT is a quick and painless test. No needles are involved, and it takes less than 5 minutes. The person to be screened lays on their back on a special bed that moves through a large scanner. Even people who don't like enclosed spaces tolerate it well. No special preparation or recovery is needed. If they are not wearing any metal from the waist up, a participant does not even have to change into a hospital gown. Who should be screened? Anyone who is considered at risk for lung cancer should be screened annually. People between the ages of 50 and 80 with a history of smoking within the past 15 years are at risk. Smokers and former smokers account for approximately 85% of lung cancer cases. And those with a smoking history are 30% more likely to get lung cancer than those without such a history. CTs are covered by Medicare and private insurance plans. The cost of the screening without coverage is $500. Cost should not be a barrier to getting screened, and there is funding available to help if needed. Our lung navigator will be on site that day and will have information about PIVOT. Midland Health Smoking Cessation Program. This program includes a carbon monoxide detector, tobacco replacement, fun learning activities, counseling, and a support group. It is proven to be highly effective for those who have chosen to participate. PIVOT is free of charge to anyone living in Midland. To schedule a CT of your lungs for National Lung Screening Day, or any other day, call our schedulers at 432-221-2300. If you would like more information about our Lung Center and the services we offer, visit our website at midlandhealth.org/thelungcenter or call our Lung Nurse Navigator at 432-221-3415. Breast cancer screening saves lives. Dear Mayo Clinic, I'm about to turn 40 and I'm nervous about getting my first mammogram. I hear they can be uncomfortable or even painful. Is breast cancer screening really that important? Answer. It can be a bit daunting at first, but breast cancer screening helps people live longer. Screening can catch cancer early, either in the precancerous stage or when it's localized to a very small part of the body. When we catch it early and decrease the risk of it coming back in the future, patients not only live longer, but they also may live with fewer symptoms or concerns. A common misconception around screening is, quote, I don't have a family history of breast cancer, so I don't know that I need a mammogram, end quote. That's concerning because we know 1 in 8 women get breast cancer. It's critical that no matter what your history is, you still consider breast cancer screening for the future. We recommend that breast cancer screening start at age 40, although these decisions should be individualized. Some patients may need screening earlier based on family history, personal history, or genetic predisposition. It's not one size fits all, and it's good to decide with a primary care clinician, depending on your specific risk. For example, if there are any hints of a strong breast cancer history in the family, we may consider genetic testing. Traditionally, breast cancer screening is with a 3D mammogram. With breast self-exams, we recommend patients get to know their breasts or, if they've had a mastectomy, their chest wall, and notice if there are any changes, such as any new lumps or bumps, and then bring that to their healthcare team's attention. It's not uncommon to have breast changes over time. This can happen due to menstrual cycles or hormonal changes. But if you feel a lump that does not go away or worsens over a matter of weeks, that's a reason to get examined. Other things to look out for include flattening of the nipple, nipple discharge, or a hard lump in the underarm. We eliminate many early-stage breast cancers with a combination of surgery, radiation, and medications. Most breast cancers are very treatable and curable. With breast cancers that are detected at a later stage, there are still ways that we can suppress these cancers to help people live longer with fewer symptoms. The question of how frequently someone needs to be screened comes up a lot. Our general guidance is annual screening with mammograms or 3D mammograms. For patients with a very high risk for breast cancer, extremely dense breasts, 3D mammogram. We might recommend additional or supplemental screening, often with an MRI or an MBI, molecular breast imaging. It really depends on risk. We have patients who strongly prefer or request to have screening less often. Overall, the most important parts of this process are discussing screening with your primary healthcare clinician and sharing decision-making. Could mRNA vaccines fight another deadly infection? Philadelphia. The same technology that saved millions of lives during the COVID-19 pandemic appears to hold promise against another scourge of infectious disease. According to new research from the University of Pennsylvania, working with mice, hamsters, and non-human primates, Penn researchers found that a modified version of the mRNA COVID-19 vaccine, based on technology also pioneered at Penn, appeared to prevent and fight infections by Clostridioides difficile. This bacteria, also known as C. difficile or C. diff, causes 500,000 infections and kills roughly 30,000 people in the U.S. each year. Quote, C. diff is a really challenging pathogen, end quote, said lead author Joseph Zocular, assistant professor of pathology and laboratory medicine at Penn. Quote, this vaccine is kind of a really nice proof of principle, end quote, that the mRNA technology can tackle another major public health threat, he added. C. diff exacts damage on several fronts. It hangs out in our gut, where it can produce toxins that cause problems such as diarrhea. But it also exists as spores that live outside the body, which survive for long periods of time in soil or on surfaces, and serve as a major source of infections. Most of the time, our bodies are able to keep C. diff at bay. However, that becomes less so as we age, especially after a round of antibiotics that can wipe out the, quote, good, end quote, bacteria that keeps C. diff in check. In a troubling trend, an increasing number of young people are getting C. diff, even without taking antibiotics. Once someone has C. diff, it can be really hard to shake. Roughly 1 in 6 people who get C. diff will get it again within the next several weeks. In a study published earlier this month in the journal Science, Sakular and his team modified the mRNA vaccines, which previously targeted the COVID-19 virus, to instead attack all fronts of the C. diff bacteria. They found that mRNA vaccines that target C. diff cells and the toxins they produce generated a lasting immune response in mice and hamsters. After giving mice 20 times the lethal dose of C. diff, all unvaccinated mice died within 2 days, while all vaccinated mice survived, remained alert and active, and exhibited only mild symptoms. Vaccinated mice even survived a second infection 6 months later. A version of the vaccine that also targeted its spores appeared to prime mice and non-human primates to fight off C. diff infections. Other mRNA applications. Researchers' next steps include continuing to test the vaccine in animal models, and eventually humans. What's more, C. diff is not an easy pathogen to target. Sanofi discontinued its C. diff vaccine candidate in 2017, and a 2024 report showed a Pfizer C. diff vaccine failed to prevent infections in a Phase 3 clinical trial. That said, the mRNA vaccine is an established platform, which Penn researchers are using to also target Lyme disease, norovirus, and a herpes virus, and are working on other targets such as cancer. In the future, it may be possible to develop mRNA vaccines against a number of other bacterial infections, such as Salmonella, Sakular said. Quote, there's a lot of really, really tricky bugs that are multi-drug resistant that we're really concerned about, end quote. The C. diff study was funded in part by BioNTech, which made some of the mRNA COVID-19 vaccines with Pfizer. In addition, Penn has optioned and licensed some intellectual property to BioNTech related to the project to develop an mRNA vaccine for C. diff, and as such, quote, may receive additional financial benefits under the option and license in the future, end quote, according to a Penn News release about the study.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading The Odessa American for Saturday, November 2nd, 2024. Religion. Reverend Mullins leads at Legacy of Faith. He is the former bishop of the Pentecostal Church of God in Oklahoma. By Bob Campbell. All the Reverend Joseph Mullins ever wanted to do was be a pastor, and he has returned to his first love as pastor of the Legacy of Faith Worship Center after serving as statewide bishop of the Bedford, Texas-based Pentecostal Church of God and its more than 50 Oklahoma churches. I missed the feeling of being with the one body of a church, said the Reverend Mullins, a native of Flint, Michigan, who has been in Odessa since July. This church has taken us in and accepted us as part of their family. Asked what he tries to accomplish each week from the pulpit, he said, I try to reach people's hearts for Jesus with a message. Jesus knows we are hopeless, and he gifts us with the hope of eternal life. Bedford is east northeast of Fort Worth. Formerly Faith Tabernacle, Mullins 1420 East 42nd Street Church averages 30 people at its 10:30 a.m. Sunday services. He and his wife, Larie, the co-pastor, have 3 children and 9 grandchildren. Mullins graduated with a degree in ministry from the Free Gospel Bible Institute in Export, Pennsylvania, and was the pastor of churches in Tallahena, Poteau, and Wolverton, Oklahoma, before assuming his administrative duties. His father, Don, of Milford, Indiana, is a retired minister. His mother's name is Wilma. God is with us and for us, Mullins said. He tells us that he will never leave us or forsake us. God can take your brokenness and restore your life. We are saved by faith in Jesus, who is our Savior. Edward Cunningham, Mullins' secretary when he was bishop, said he is a good pastor because he is very engaging and interested in the welfare of his members at all times. Joseph is a likable fellow, Cunningham said. Laurie has a great heart for people, and the people of Odessa will be blessed by them being there. Thanksgiving for Veterans by Dr. Jimmy Braswell, Chaplain of Home Hospice of Odessa. November is a month of celebration for our veterans and thanksgiving for our lives. It is a month to celebrate and be thankful for the life God has given us. For with all the trouble, hardships, and suffering of our lives, we can be thankful for the life God has given each of us. It is the one we were intended to have. Even with all the difficulty, our life has a meaning and purpose way beyond what we can see or perceive. Veterans Day is the same kind of gratitude, to be grateful for every soldier, foreign and domestic. World wars and conflicts were not won and goals accomplished by only a few noted heroes, but by all the soldiers, everyone. Each played a solitary part of a greater whole of defending our nation and democracy. All the jobs, every soldier's duty, was a part of a greater sequence of a task to be done. By doing his job, his duty, he or she became a greater part of a greater sequence of events to win the war and lead our nation into the future. There is a purpose for all things. Our private lives and the public lives of veterans all have a specific purpose and part of a greater whole. We are to love and be grateful for our lives and the life of every veteran who has served. Features from the Bible. Truth in Scripture. A blessing stolen. Genesis 27. Esau was Isaac and Rebekah's firstborn, and the blessing of his father was to come to him. In Isaac's last days, he asked Esau to kill and prepare him some venison, just as he liked it, and then he would give him his blessing. Rebekah, whose favorite son was Jacob, overheard the plans of Isaac and Esau, and plotted with Jacob to fool his blind father and receive the blessing himself. Jacob was smooth-skinned and Esau was hairy, so Rebekah instructed Jacob to cover his hands and parts of his body with a young goat's hairy skin and wear Esau's clothes and take a meal of a young goat into Isaac and convince Isaac that he was Esau, and have Isaac give him the blessing. The trick worked, and Jacob received the blessing from his father, a blessing that by tradition rightfully belonged to Esau. Genesis 27, 27 through 29. As soon as Isaac had blessed Jacob, Esau arrives and offers the meal he had prepared to his father. He learns that his brother had tricked him out of the blessing. He begs to be blessed, but the blessing was irrevocable, and it had already been given. Esau continues to ask his father for a blessing as he weeps over his loss.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.